You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
Welcome back to Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm very excited for our next guest. We booked this interview a little while ago, and I've been patiently waiting to talk to author Galen White, who has wrote the new book, Singles and Smiles, How Artie Wilson Broke Baseball's Color Barrier. Kind of a backstory on Artie Wilson. He was the best shortstop in Major League Baseball. In 1948, he hit over 400 for the Birmingham Black Barons, and he was the last hitter in the top level of pro ball to hit above 400. And when you really get into the backstory of Artie Wilson, you realize that he was the best shortstop in baseball, but he was passed on because he was black. And this ties into Jackie Robinson, a terrific story. It's a terrific book. Galen, first off, it's a pleasure to get you on the show today to talk about Artie Wilson and your new book. Thank you for the time.
Thanks for this opportunity, Jordan. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Galen, before we dive into the book, I want to give everyone a little bit of a background on your career as a writer. First off, you were a sports writer for the Denver Post. You've spent time in Arizona, Oklahoma, and the author of the Bilko Athletic Club, the story of the 1956 Angels. You have a lot on your resume. That's just a couple of news and notes that we could point out to the listeners. I mean, you've been around sports writing pretty much for as long as I could find as far as looking up your history.
I grew up in Los Angeles and was fascinated with the Pacific Coast League, which was as big league as we had at the time that I was growing up. The Dodgers came out to L.A. in 1958. I was 12 years old. I really didn't want Major League Baseball. We were quite happy with the Los Angeles Angels and the Hollywood Stars, which were the two teams we had in town at the time. But the Dodgers came out, and what made it worthwhile was listening to Vin Scully.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you bring up Vin Scully. I wonder if sometimes if the listeners get tired of me talking about Vin Scully. One of a kind, one of the all-time greats. And when you use the word legend, I think that's a word that is overused as far as sports broadcasting and sports writing is concerned today. That word fits Vin Scully in every syllable.
What nobody gives him credit for is probably being the father of the transistor radio. And the reason I say that is because everybody went out and bought a transistor radio so they could listen to Vin Scully call the games the first few years there in a Coliseum. Without Vin Scully, you didn't know what was going on down in the field. So that's where the fascination with Vin Scully started, was in the Los Angeles Coliseum and the first couple of years that the Dodgers played there, because his voice would just move around that stadium. I call it a stadium. It was a lousy baseball park, but going to the Coliseum and listening to Vin Scully made it all worthwhile.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about your new book, Singles and Smiles, How Artie Wilson Broke Baseball's Color Barrier. And the first question I typically have for an author when they come on the show, Galen, is what was the inspiration for this work?
I was fascinated, as I mentioned, with the Pacific Coast League. Artie played for several teams in the Pacific Coast League over a nine-year period from 1949 through really its last year, 1957. I remember him, just this black guy, very fast, great fielder, hit the left field. Those are kind of my childhood snapshots of him. As I got older and I got interested in writing a book called, which I still haven't finished, by the way, it was called Left on Base in the Bushes. And Artie was one of the guys recommended to me as a good candidate. I was looking for guys who were great in the minors, but either never made it to the majors, or if they did, it was for a cup of coffee. And Steve Bilko fit that description, as did Artie. In the case of Steve Bilko, there was so much material there, I separated that into another book, the Bilko Athletic Club. And in the case with Artie, my publisher, Roman and Littlefield, about a year ago contacted me and said, we want to do a series of books on pioneers in sports. And they sort of gave me a definition of what they were looking for, and I said, well, that fits Artie Wilson to the T. The thing is, all the other names you have listed as possible candidates are well-known. Artie is not. He's obscure. But his story should be told. And they agreed with me, and as a result, we came up with Singles and Smiles, How Artie Wilson Broke Baseball's Color Barrier. Artie Wilson could have easily have been the guy picked by Branch Rickey as the man to break the color barrier. In fact, there were several Negro League owners who recommended Artie as the one. Branch Rickey, of course, picked Jackie Robinson. History proves that he was right. And Artie Wilson will tell you as well that Branch Rickey was right. Artie would also tell you that he was a better shortstop than Jackie in 1945 when Branch Rickey had to make that call.
Now, of course, Artie Wilson has passed away back in 2010. He passed away. And so, you know, going back through the book, and I haven't read the complete book yet. I'm still working on that, Galen. But you mentioned Artie Wilson alongside Jackie Robinson. And so my question to you would be, was he beaten out by Jackie Robinson based on temperament? Because when you take a look at what Artie was able to accomplish, number-wise, it really should not have been Jackie Robinson. He definitely was not the best. He was one of the best, and I'm not taking a slight there at Jackie. But in a statistical realm, there were other players deserving of being that guy to break the color barrier in Major League Baseball.
The main reason, and this is what Artie would tell you why Jackie was the best candidate, and I agree with Artie, is that Jackie had mingled more with white people. He'd been at UCLA. He'd played football, baseball, and track. So he competed against white people in those sports. He had been in the military, so he'd been around white people in the military. Artie grew up in Birmingham. He had some contact with white people, but not nearly as much as Jackie did. And so that's why, in Artie's opinion, Jackie was the right choice. If you ask me, however, Artie had the right temperament. The title, Singles and Smiles, is really based upon the way Artie broke the color barrier. He was a great singles hitter. In fact, his teammate, Piper Davis, who managed the Birmingham Black Barons in 1948, which was Willie's first year in pro ball, Willie Mays' first year in pro ball. Piper Davis called him the greatest singles hitter he ever saw. Artie would hit singles, and then if his detractors, if people were still calling him names, he would just smile at them. If a pitcher threw at him, Artie would usually get up, get a single, and then smile at the pitcher. He broke the color barrier through really his positive outlook and really the temperament really was, you know, you're not gonna intimidate me. You're not going to get me to doing anything from what I need to do my best. And Artie never got kicked out of a ball game. He never argued with an umpire. He was just a positive guy who just went about his business of getting singles, and when he got those singles, he would just smile.
Pretty amazing when you take a look at what he was actually able to accomplish. I mean, if you look at his statistics, in 1948, Galen, he batted over 400. I mean, that is insane to think about. And that's just talking about Artie in an offensive statistical realm as well. His OBP was well over 400, almost 500. His slugging percentage was .572. This was in 1948. Those are unbelievable numbers, especially in the analytical world that we live in today with sabermetrics.
He was the last player to hit 400 at the major league level. Now, most people, of course, say Ted Williams in 1941. And if you're just going by who played white folks ball, and that was the name that Piper Davis gave organized baseball, was white folks ball. If you're just going by that, yes, Ted Williams would be the last 400 hitter. But already hit 402 in 1948. And as I mentioned, his teammate was Willie Mays. And Willie Mays interviewed him for the book, and Willie said that one of the greatest hitting lessons he ever got was watching Artie hit 402 that year. One of the lessons that he learned from watching Artie was Artie was a master at fouling off pitches, at wearing down the opposing pitcher. You know, in the news this week has been Brandon Belt's 21-pitch at-bat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Artie fouled off an average of 20 to 25 pitches a game. Willie Mays recalled the time at Birmingham where Artie fouled off 15 pitches in a single game. At Oakland in the Coast League, Artie once fouled off 13 pitches in one at-bat, and the pitcher became so frustrated that he threw the ball behind him just to get him out of the way.
Again, we're being joined right now by Galen White, is the author of Singles and Smiles, How Artie Wilson Broke Baseball's Color Barrier. I don't want to jump all over the place here, Galen, but I do want to bring up one interesting tidbit, the Artie Wilson shift. And this is something that it fascinates me. If you're into the game of baseball and the nuances of baseball, this is something that will definitely, I think, bring humor to some of the readers. I want you to describe to me the Artie Wilson shift and how this became about.
The only other player at that time who any team was shifting on was Ted Williams. And, of course, Ted was left-handed, just like Artie. However, Ted was a pole hitter, and everybody pulled over to the right side for Ted Williams, the third baseman typically moving over and playing where the shortstop was. They still kept somebody in left field, but they shifted him over towards left center. Artie was a left-handed hitter, and everybody shifted over to the left because that's where he hit the ball. Sometimes they emptied right field. Carl Furillo, in one case, where the Dodgers were playing the Giants, Charlie Dressen, who was the manager of the Dodgers in 1951 and had managed Artie in the Coast League in 1949 and 50, and, of course, knew how to play Artie, he brought Carl Furillo in from right field, put him at second base. There was no one in right field. Now, in this particular case, Artie grounded back to the pitcher, Don Newcomb, and he threw him out. And that was the center of controversy at that time between Charlie Dressen and Leo DeRozier because they had these two huge eagles, and each was trying to one-up each other. So that was one instance where it worked. But for the most part, it did not work. Lefty O'Doul was the first to try the shift on Artie, and for the most part, it failed. In fact, when Lefty O'Doul first started the shift, Charlie Dressen again was managing Oakland. Well, Charlie Dressen didn't like what Lefty O'Doul was doing, and he called it showboating. And, of course, didn't stop Charlie from doing that a little later on. But the left fielder would be right on the left field line. The third baseman would be right in the third base line. The shortstop would move over just a few feet from the third baseman, and the second baseman would move over and play where the shortstop was. And again, as the Dodgers did with Carl Furillo, sometimes the right fielder would come in and play second. Artie was a great bunter, so the infield had to come in too, fairly close. He was probably the greatest bunter in my memory in organized baseball was Rod Carew. He would be in the category of Rod Carew, probably getting 25, 30 bunt singles a year. He had great speed. I was talking with a Coast League pitcher, a fellow who pitched in the Coast League against Artie, and he's now 90 years old. His name is Dave Hillman. He's the oldest living New York Met. And he was saying to me that that when Artie got on first base, he just went ahead and threw to third to head him off. Artie was fast, and he led the league in stolen bases his first year in the Coast League, as well as he led the league in batting average, .348. So that was Artie Wilson. He was tough to defense. He pestered pitchers. You know, Artie, it was Leo DeRozier where Leo was saying that the defense really didn't know what to do when Artie came to the plate. The third baseman would come in even with the bag. The shortstop would come in three steps. And to quote Leo, the infielders just don't know where they are. And when he gets on first base, they all move up afraid he's going to steal. So he kept the defense totally off balance. And that was one of the reasons why when he came to the plate, fans, they were electrified. They loved to see Artie Wilson come to the plate. He had this flair about him that Piper Davis, again, his teammate, compared with Willie Mays. And like Willie Mays, who Piper said played for the fans, so did Artie. They were very entertaining.
Galen, I would love to continue to talk about the book, Singles and Smiles, and also the career of Artie Wilson, if you have time to hang around with us for one more segment.
I sure do.
Fantastic. Looking forward to it. One more segment coming up with Galen White as we talk about the new book, Singles and Smiles, How Artie Wilson Broke Baseball's Color Barrier, when we return here on Drive Time Sports.